I've titled the lesson this morning, What Religion Are You In? You know, man by nature is very, very religious. It's not difficult at all to find a religious person. But, you know, Scripture tells us that most people are in false religion. Our Lord said in Matthew 7, verse 13, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Many are in that way. Our Lord went on in verse 14. He said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find that. So there are few people, our Lord said, in the religion of Christ and the religion of salvation that's Christ alone. That's why the narrow is the way and straight is the gate, because there's only one way, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But that wide way is the religion of the Pharisees, and I know why many are in it. Because that way of religion is natural to all flesh. The religion of the Pharisees is the religion of man's works. And there is nothing that the flesh loves more than that. Thinking that there is a work I can do that's supposed to please Almighty God and somehow obligate Him to do something for me. The narrow way is the religion of Christ. That's a religion that declares Christ is all and I'm nothing. I am nothing. Everything I do is nothing. Christ is all. Christ is all in righteousness. Christ is all in justification. He's all in salvation. He's all in worship. Christ is all in acceptance with the Father. Salvation, eternal life, hangs completely and entirely on Christ and Christ alone. Christ is all. Now, I'm sure that most of us here this morning, I just know this is true, that we would all say we're pretty devout to our religion. We're pretty devout to our worship. And that would be a true statement, wouldn't it, that we make. But I would warn us, devotion is not salvation. You know, everyone in false religion would say the same thing, and they'd be making a true statement too. They're very devout to their false religion. Now, I want you and me to know, what religion are we in? Are we in the religion of the Pharisees? Or are we in the religion of Christ? And I have 5 litmus tests about this to give ourselves. And I warn us right off the bat, these are not 5 litmus tests for us to give somebody else, trying to figure out if somebody else what religion they're in. These are 5 litmus tests to give myself. Paul said, let a man examine himself. Now let's examine ourselves and our religion with these 5 litmus tests. Number 1, the religion of the Pharisees is to be critical, but the religion of Christ is to be forgiving. Look at verse 1, Mark chapter 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. Now, the Pharisees made an art out of watching other people so that they could criticize them. You know, they're not watching other people to see, do they need anything? You know, is there something I can do to help them? The Pharisees are far too self-centered for that. They watched others so they could see what they were doing wrong, and they could criticize them for it. And, you know, oh, they're doing something. Us Pharisees, we would never do that. Look what they're doing. How wrong they are, how doctrinally wrong they are, how morally wrong they are. And the reason they wanted to watch others and be critical of others is so they feel better about themselves. Well, that's the long and the short of it. Now, I'm not saying that we're not to make judgments. You know, sometimes we have to make a judgment about someone or something that they've done something wrong. We make a judgment about that. You parents better make a judgment about who your kids should hang out with. And, you know, you better make judgments about that. But we don't have to be critical, hypercritical, and haughty about it. Oh, I hate that attitude. Just that haughtiness and looking down our nose at people. Now, you know there's a difference between making a judgment, knowing what's right and wrong, and being haughty about it, being critical about it. You know, Scripture says, who are you to judge another man's servant? You know, to his own master he standeth or falleth. But if you think about it, Remember, the religion of the Pharisees is a works religion. A critical, haughty attitude is the only thing works religion can produce. A critical, haughty, holier-than-thou attitude. That's their religion. But the religion of Christ is to be forgiving. Now, the gospel of Christ declares that Almighty God forgives the sin of his people because the Father punished his Son for the sin of his people. He made his Son to be the substitute for the sin of his people so that their sin could be forgiven. God forgives the sin of his people because the blood of Christ took the sin of God's elect away, made it to not exist. The sacrifice of Christ made it so that there is no sin that can be charged to any of God's elect. Now, since no sin can be charged to them, they're forgiven. Now, that's a doctrinal truth. That's a doctrinal pillar and foundation of the gospel. There's forgiveness of sin in the blood of Christ because he died as our substitute. I mean, does anybody here believe anything more strongly than you believe that? Hope in anything more? It's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from our sin and gives us forgiveness of our sin with the Father. Now, if that doctrinal truth is in our heart, our attitude will reflect it. Ephesians 4, verse 32, Paul gives us this instruction. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now, here's your motivation. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, don't just say, oh, I forgive somebody. Be kind. Be tenderhearted about it. Be understanding about it. See, this thing it's a heart matter. The believer has been given a forgiving heart. And unfortunately, sooner or later, there's going to come up a problem amongst us. There's going to come up, somebody does something wrong, somebody's feelings are hurt. Their feelings are hurt, whether somebody did something wrong or whether they didn't really mean to, for whatever reason, our feelings are hurt, and there's a problem. But when that problem is between two believers, sooner or later, they're going to find a way to forgive one another. Sooner or later, they will. Because that's the new nature that God's given them. He's given them the heart of forgiveness. They trust their soul that God would forgive their sin because of the sacrifice of Christ. And that just is going to direct our attitudes and our actions to be forgiving one to another. And believers understand this. You know, it is not hard for you to look at me and find things to criticize and find things to pick at and find things to be hurt about, but we'd be a whole lot better off if we spend our time looking for reasons to love our brethren. You know, sometimes our brethren, maybe they get on our nerves a little bit. Look for a reason to love them. Look for a reason to love them. Look for a reason to serve them rather than criticize them. We'd be a whole lot better off if we spent our time that way. And you know, if I want to find somebody to criticize, I have to look no further than myself. I mean, I don't have to go very far to find somebody to criticize. I mean, there are so many things I see in myself to criticize because my sin is the worst. It really is. Look at Philippians chapter 2. I mean, how can I find time to criticize that little bit of straw that's in your eye if I'm considering the beam that's in my own eye? Philippians chapter 2. Now, this is the gospel. This is the religion of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, if God's put this thing in your heart, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, you and I are going to get along just fine if I really do esteem you always better than myself. I'm not going to criticize you if I esteem you better than myself, and you're going to like me real good if I esteem you better than myself. You really will. That's just going to take care of all these problems that come up between us. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Don't look out for yourself. Look out for your brethren. Look for ways to love them and serve them. That's the religion of Christ. Because look what Paul says in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You cannot preach salvation in Christ Jesus. You cannot preach forgiveness in Christ Jesus. You can't believe that and cling to that and not be forgiving to others, can you? It ought. Well, unfortunately, we find ways to do it, but it ought not be. It ought not be. Strive to be forgiving one to another. All right, number two. The religion of the Pharisees is justification by works. The religion of Christ is justification by faith in Christ. Back in our text, Mark 7, verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. But when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. I mean, the Pharisees were always washing their hands. Now, the reason that the Pharisees were so critical, they're critical of others, is because they're self-righteous. They've made themselves righteous by their works, or so they thought. But since they think they made themselves righteous, they can look down on other people who have not made themselves righteous. You know, the Pharisees said, now, what's the matter with you? I mean, what's the matter with you? All you got to do is do what I do. All you got to do is do what I do, and then you'll be as good as me. We'll both be righteous. But if you can't do what I do, well, you must not be as good as me. And I'm going to be haughty and look down my nose at you. You know, yay me and boo you. But people in the religion of the Pharisees, you know how they justify themselves? By comparing themselves with other sinners. When I was in college, there was a large intramural program at Ohio State. And one of the things they had was an under six basketball intramural, you know, thing. Well, you know, in that under six, under you had to be less than 6 feet to play in that league. Well, if you're, you compare yourself to somebody else who's short, you know, you think you're pretty tall. They also had a league that was, you're supposed to be really good in it. And Ohio State football players had a team. They won every year. Those guys are monsters. Now, if I compare myself, somebody's 5'6", I might feel pretty tall. I can compare myself to a 6'8" lineman who's 330 pounds, I feel pretty small. It's just who I'm comparing myself to. Well, the Pharisees aren't about comparing themselves to the big tall guy. They're trying to find sinners to compare themselves to make themselves feel better about themselves. And that's what the washing of the hands was all about. You know, they're not just washing their hands to get dirt and germs off of them. This hand washing was a ceremony where they thought they made themselves righteous by their works. Oh, I'm righteous. I'm so righteous. I'm so much more righteous than everybody else. But I've got to go out in the world. I got to go out in the world to the market to buy things. I've got to go, you know, see people and shake hands, whatever else they do. So when I come back home, I've got to wash. It's a ceremonial washing to wash all the sin off me that people got on me out there in the world. That's what they're doing. They're saying the world's got all this sin on me. I don't have any, but the world can put it all on me. So I've got to ceremonially wash. Now, that just so they don't know what sin is and they don't know where it comes from. Sin is not out there in the world. Sin's in my heart. Sin comes from my heart. Look at verse 20, this same chapter. This is what the Lord said. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. I don't have to go out in the world to get defiled. I carry it around with me in that old heart, that old nature of Adam. You know, we see sin manifest outwardly, don't we? But sin is not an outward problem. Sin's an inward problem. And you know what? Salvation is not an outward thing either. Salvation is an inward thing. It's a heart work. It's God giving a new heart. Now, I tell you, it's a good thing to wash our hands. You know, we'd all be healthier if we kept our hands washed. That's one of the first things our mamas taught us, wasn't it? Wash your hands. This week, Jan and I had our 16-month-old grandson with us, and I told him I'd change his diapers. Now, Papa's got to go wash his hands. And immediately, he started going like this. He knows how to wash his hands. It's just an important thing. We'd be healthier if we keep those germs off of our hands. But don't take something that's good for you and turn it into a religious thing. Don't take something that's good for your body and turn it into a matter of righteousness. Do you know where don't drink, don't smoke, and don't cuss come from? I mean, people made that such a religious issue. You know why? Because there's women in the church and they're tired of their husband drinking up their money and using money to buy cigarettes and sneaking up her house with cigarettes and cussing, and she don't like hearing it. So the preacher just made it a religious thing. Don't drink, don't cuss, and don't smoke. If you drink, you can't be saved. Touch not, taste not, handle not. That's exactly where that came from. Now, if you drink to excess, quit it. If you smoke to excess, quit it. It's not good for you. That's not good for your body. But don't make it a religious thing. Don't make it a matter of righteousness. It's fleshly, not spiritual. Now, believers know we cannot be justified by what we do. Everything I do is sin. How could I justify me? There is nothing I can do to cleanse this flesh from my sin. I tell you what's got to be done with this flesh. It's got to die and it's got to be buried. Because it cannot be improved. It cannot be made sinless. If my body is going to be made sinless, God's going to have to give me a new one in the resurrection. That's the only time I'm going to have a sinless flesh. Sinners are not justified by what we do. We're justified by what Christ did. Oh, that's what thrills the believer. I'm justified by Christ's obedience. I see my obedience is not worth a plug nickel. I'm so glad to know that I can be made justified by Christ's obedience for me. We're justified by being washed in the blood of Christ. We're justified by doing nothing but trusting Christ. That's justification. Now, believers still wash too, don't we? We wash our feet. You know, the Lord said a man goes down there and takes a bath and comes and has to walk back home. Well, he's washed, save his feet. His feet got dusty. He's got to wash his feet. Well, how does the believer wash his feet? By hearing the gospel preached. Hearing the gospel, that's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of the flesh. It's a matter of the heart. That's how we're justified. It's by the believing Christ, by believing his gospel. All right, number three. The religion of the Pharisees is to be seen of men. And the religion of Christ is to be seen of God. Now, you know why the Pharisees did all these ceremonial washings? It's because they wanted men to see them do it. That's exactly why they did it. Look back at Matthew chapter 6. I know that's so, because that's what the Lord tells us. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, any good deed, anything like, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. As soon as people see them doing what they're doing, they got their reward. That's what they were after. But you, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, you know as well as I do what the Lord's saying there. If we do what we do to be seen of men and have men praise us, they will. They absolutely will. Men are not hard to impress. They're not difficult to fool. You want men to see and praise you, they will, but God won't. Because God looks on the heart. Now, it's never wrong for us to do the right thing. But your motivation matters. Don't ever do the right thing because you want people to see you doing the right thing. Motivation is so important. If you do what you do as unto the Lord, for your conscience sake, because you're doing it as unto the Lord, then you do it. Do it. That's good. But if you do whatever it is you do, so other people say, oh, that's a good Christian person, you know. Don't do it. I mean, don't do it. And a good example in our day is praying in a restaurant. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, pray and publicly in a restaurant. We typically do not because we don't want people to think of us as a Pharisee, you know, praying on the street corner and whatnot. But if you want to pray and give thanks, do that. Absolutely do that. There's never a wrong time to give thanks, is there? But if you want people to see you praying out in public so they see what a good Christian you are, don't you do it. Don't you do it. God won't hear it. You're praying to other men, not to God. That's exactly what you're doing. Brother Henry gave some of the best advice on this I have ever heard. If you want the waitress to see what a good Christian you are, leave her a real big tip. That's private. That's done between you. That she'll get the idea. But now we also in that same vein now. Remember going back to this first thing about being critical. Now you see somebody praying in a restaurant. You don't know them from Adam. Don't start out being critical. You don't know their heart. Don't be critical about that. If you're with somebody, if you sit down in a restaurant and they want to pray, now don't be critical now, this right off the bat. We don't want to do something that puts a stumbling block in front of our brethren, especially a weaker brother or sister. You know, if you're with someone and they really do think that it's truly wrong to eat, no matter where you're eating, whether it's in your kitchen or whether it's out in public, they think it's so wrong to eat without giving thanks. I mean, it'd give them indigestion. They'd be worrying about so much if they ate without giving thanks, you know. Then do it. Bow your head and pray with them. Absolutely. Give thanks with them. You know what? I've done that several times. And you know, the food was still good and didn't poison me or nothing. Don't put a stumbling. Don't be the reverse hypocrite, you know, the reverse Pharisee and be so critical, you know. And the point I'm trying to make is this. The religion of the Pharisees focuses on the outward. Let's quit focusing so much on the outward. The believer knows God's worship from the heart. Now, every person in this room knows that. God's worship from the heart. True religion is in the heart. Then we're not going to be critical of people and all this other stuff, are we? 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says this, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance." That's as far as we can look, the outward appearance. "But God looketh on the heart." Then let's pray God gives us a heart that's right with God. Solomon said, Proverbs 23, verse 26, "My son, give me thine heart." Give me your heart. Not just, don't be like that son that told his father, "Yes, I'll go out working in your field," but didn't do it. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Solomon said in Proverbs 4, verse 23, "Keep thine heart with all diligence." Not just your outward, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life are not in what we do, what we don't do. The issues of life are not fleshly activities. They're in the heart. They're in the heart. The writer to the Hebrews told us what? About circumcision. True circumcision is not outward in the flesh. It's the giving of a new heart. A new heart. And if we truly worship God from the heart, the body will follow. But it's got to be in that order. We worship God from the heart, believe God in the heart, love God in the heart, trust God in the heart, and the body will follow. All right, number four. The religion of the Pharisees is to depart from the Word of God. The religion of Christ is a devotion to the Word of God. Verse 5 says, Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Now skip down. We'll skip verse 6. Come back to that in a minute. Verse 7. Our Lord says, In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as washing of pots and cups and many other such like things that you do. And he said unto them, Full well, you reject the commandment of God, that you keep your own tradition. Now, I bet you I know how this happened, this washing and all this thing. Some man who was greatly respected by all the people, you know, said, you know, it'd be a good idea if we, you know, do this, that, or that. It'd be a good idea if we did this. Now, he knew there's no spiritual significance to it whatsoever, but he, you know, it'd just be a good thing to do. This is the way I like doing it. It seems like it works better, you know, for us. We'll do this. And it was a good idea. But over time, it became a tradition of men. Men exalted what that respected man said and made it equal with the scripture and made it a commandment of scripture. If you don't do it, we've been doing it this way for years. And if you don't do it this way, you're not saved. You don't know God. You're not worshiping God. I bet you anything that's how that kind of stuff happens. See, the religion of the Pharisees adds their traditions to the scripture. I was shocked. I guess they still do this, but the Southern Baptist Convention, they have Sunday school classes. I guess everybody in the Southern Baptist Convention has the same Sunday school lesson every Sunday. And it comes from a little book that they print and they send out and tell everybody, teach this. They've replaced the Word of God with their little book, teaching their little book instead of teaching the Word of God. First, they add their traditions to the scripture. Then they make their traditions equal to the Word of God, and then they throw out the Word of God altogether. Altogether. Look at verse 13. Making the Word of God of none effect through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. You make the Word of God of none effect because you throw it out and teach your tradition. See, people can understand the traditions of men. They can understand that the little book that some man writes and all these, whatever it is that they put in it. But unless God gives you understanding, unless God gives you faith, unless God gives you life, you can't understand the Word of God. So they throw it out and just teach whatever it is they want to teach, you know. That's the tradition or the religion of the Pharisees. But the believer is addicted to the Word of God. The Word of God is our only foundation of faith and practice. The believer says, you show me that in the Word of God and I'll believe it. I don't necessarily understand it, but you show it to me in the Word of God and I'll believe it, because that's what faith does. You just never go wrong believing the Word of God, following the Word of God. You'll never go wrong following God's Word alone. All right, last. And oh, I want to avoid this fifth thing so desperately. The religion of the Pharisees is just lip service to religion. The religion of Christ is working from a grateful and thankful heart. Verse 6, our Lord answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites. As it's written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And then our Lord gives us an example in verse 10 of what he's talking about. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Now the law of Moses commands us to honor your father and mother. And I have no doubt that the Pharisees always, at least publicly, gave lip service to honoring their parents I bet you they never one time, at least publicly, cursed their parents. Bet you they never did. But the Lord tells us you've done something worse. You've refused to help your parents who are in need. Now, Corban, when the Lord used that word Corban, what that means, it's money that a person has. Now, it's in their possession, it's in their bank account, it's buried in their backyard, whatever. But they dedicated it to the temple. I'm going to give that to the temple someday. Now, they haven't given it yet. It's still in their possession, but they've just earmarked it to be put in offering. So their parents are in need. They can't buy groceries. They can't buy medicine. They can't pay their rent, whatever. Their parents are in need. And that Pharisaical son says, well, you know, I got the money, but I can't give it to you. I've dedicated it to the temple. I've already dedicated it to the temple, so I can't give it to you. Sorry about your need. The Lord says that's worse than cursing your parents. The Pharisees just found an excuse that they made their tradition to override, to supersede the word of God and made themselves more wealthy by it. It is something nobody ever comes up with a way to supersede the word of God to make them poorer or hurt themselves. You know, it's always to hurt somebody else, isn't it? It's always to enrich themselves. I mean, can you think of anything more wicked than to cloak your wicked, selfish desires in the scriptures, in religion? They didn't even wrap it in religion. It's just their own tradition. It was a religious tradition. The religion of the Pharisees, it can only produce hypocrites. They know they're not obeying the word of God, the law of God. They know they're not righteous. So the only thing it can produce is lip service to loving God. It's lip service to worshiping God. It's lip service to following God. If you make your own self righteous by what you do, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping yourself. You know it. God does too. It's lip service. There's nothing coming from the heart. But salvation is a heart work. It's a heart work. And that heart work will direct a believer's actions. A heart of faith, now that's going to produce good parents. A heart of faith will produce good children. A heart of faith will produce faithful husbands and loving wives. Faith in the heart will produce a dedicated, hardworking employee. It absolutely will. Faith in the heart will produce a kind and easy to get along with neighbor. It can't do anything but. Roland Hill made this statement, kind of famous statement. When a man comes to know the Lord, even his dog and his cat and his farm animals are better for it. Faith in the heart produces a person just easier to get along with, a more conscientious person. But that outward recognition, that's not the goal of the believer. See, that's the difference between the religion of the Pharisees and the religion of Christ. Outward recognition is not the goal of the believer. Outward actions are the result of grace in the heart. Now, those are those five litmus tests. And you're the only one who can know if what your actions, what the reason you do what you do, is it to be seen of men or is it from a heart of grace? You're the only one that can know that. I sure pray that you find it's from a heart of grace. All right. Hope the Lord bless that to you.